We begin the current daf Masech the Shabbos daf Lamed Vav. We begin on an Aleph. We begin with Tais the Bemaskel. Tais begins with words of the Gemara Harib Yehuda. Tais comes to explain this that we're qualifying from these three brises, one of them being like a Yehuda. The Gemara answer regarding the contradiction of the brises regarding are you allowed to move a shofar and the trumpet. The brise that says that a shofar you're allowed to move, but the trumpets are usher. The Gemara says that's going like a Yehuda. So Tais explains because the Rabbi Yehuda matatan le shofar, you're allowed to move a shofar. Avagav de malach de liyser, although essentially the work of a shofar is used for something prohibited, which because one's not allowed to go ahead and blow an instrument on Shabbos, still shari letatla, you're allowed to move it, which is letzerach gufay umakaymay for the utility of itself for a permitted usage, and also for the place that it contains. And Tais proves this point that Rabbi Yehuda, although he has an expansive interpretation of muktzah, but he permits one to move a kli shem lach to liser if it's letzerach gufay umakaymay, as he brings many different proofs. Proof number one: kinemuchach perik kol hakelim. It's obvious in the Gemara later on the kufchav dalam beis. Dama Rav says that machbodish shel milsa, a broom that's made from garments, mutl talta b'Shabbos, one is permitted to move on Shabbos for a permitted utility, for example, to sweep up a table, because nothing wrong with sweeping up a table. However, vishal tamara, but from a broom that's made out of palm fronds, that's forbidden, pirish, why? Lefisha malach de lister, because there, its utility is made for a prohibited thing. Because generally those types of brooms are meant to sweep up the house, which is forbidden on Shabbos to sweep the Talmudic ground because they had earth grounds. And there's a concern that you might come to smooth out the holes in the ground, which is forbidden because of Chayrish, because of plowing, as the Gemara explains later on, the Tzadikim and Alf. Now, Rabbi Lazar, he says, Avshal Tamar. Now, even the broom of the palm fronds, of the lulav branches, are permitted. Says the Gemara, the Maizkin, what are we talking about? If the reason why Rabbi Lazar holds you're allowed to use that broom is because using it for a permitted utility, what's called tzarech gufa, or for its place, tzarech mekaymai, but holy merav, so his dispute in Rav, that's what he would say, shall tomorrow lie, that this branch, this broom made out of the palm fronds are going to be forbidden? But Rav, Karav Israel, holds like Rav, the Shari Dabish Malach, the Lisser, who says permitted to utilize something that, although its general malach is something prohibited, like this broom of the palm fronds, but it's permitted, Laterch Gufi Makamai, that is permitted for a permitted utility or for its place. Now, says Taisus the proof, V'i Rabbi Yehuda Aser, and if Rabbi Yehuda would hold that it's forbidden to move in the halachas of Muktzah, even Laterch Gufi Makamai, then you would have a difficulty. What's the Gemara saying that Rav holds like Rava, and therefore he should be permitted to move Laterch Gufi Makamai? But for Rav Savak Rabbi Yehuda, we know Rav holds like a Yehuda, the Islay Muktzah, who holds Allah of Muktzah. And therefore you see that he holds it's forbidden as at Laterch Gufi Makamai. Rather, it's obvious that Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's permitted to move a Dvar Muktzah if it's Laterch Gufi or Makamai, even though it's a Kli Shemalachtoi Laisr. Proof number two was a Beperek Telem. The Gemara later on, the Kufmem Alvim Abbas, brings Gabi Hod the Parak Labayev Rava. The Gemara asks Nabayev and Rava, who they have a dispute over there, regarding Rava, it's permitted to move a Kli Shem Lach Tel Isser, Letzerech Gufay and Letzerech Mekayim. According to Abayev, no, it's only permitted to move a Letzerech Gufay. The Gemara asks, Miminol Sha'al Gabi He'im, from the shoe that's on the tool that's used by the shoemaker to go ahead and create the shoes, where you're allowed to remove the shoe from this emum, this tool that holds the shoe in place, even though most definitely you're going to be moving the emum, which is a kli shem lach tel iser. It's meant to go ahead and make shoes, which is forbidden to be done on Shabbos. But since l'tzerech mekayma, you need the place, which is the shoe, which is on it, so therefore it's permitted. Now, mashma behedya, it seems explicitly, the shor Rebbe Yehuda says permitted, b'dav shem lach tel iser, that even though it's something that it's meant for a prohibited utility, but it's permitted to move it. Let's say Guv Mekayma for itself, if for a permitted utility, and for its place, because the Gemara there brings the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that says that if the shoe is loose on this emum, it's permitted to move it. The Gemara concludes this that he says it has to be loose is only according to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, his Rebbe. But Rabbi Yehuda himself, he actually holds it permitted even if it wasn't loose. Now, if that's the case, most definitely you're going to be moving this emum by moving the shoe. And that's because Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're allowed to move a kli shem lach tel iser, which is what this imam is, letzarech gufay and letzarech mekayma. Proof number three is v'tani nami peper kira. The Gemara later on, daf memdal menalv, brings Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, kol haneir shel matachas, all lamps that are made out of metal, which do not become repulsive when they're lit like an earthenware lamp, metatlin are permitted to be moved. Now, obviously, we're talking about Letzerach Guf Mekoymai, even though a lamp is a kli shemalach to lisser. Chutzim naner shadlika boy b'Shabbos, except for the lamp that's lit on that Shabbos, because that's a different isser of mukta. That's what's called, it's intrinsic mukta. Because Ben Hashmash was forbidden to move it, because one might come to extinguish the candle that's lit, and therefore, and that's what's called mukta machmas isser. That's always forbidden to be moved because it was mukta ben hashmasha, so it's mukta the whole day. But one thing is that we see, the whole day, a lot of move, a klisha machl isra, l'tzach gufay mukayme. Now, Taisa says that this, that, okay, so the Bryce is like a Behuda that says that you're allowed to move a shayfer, again, even though it's a klisha machl le isra, you're allowed to move a l'tzach gufay mukayme, and, but as the Gemara said, al-bachatzaitzis aser, but the trumpets are forbidden, even l'tzach gufay umakayme. Why? Since really it doesn't really have that much of a utility, even to when you want to use it for permitted utility, only a little bit. So it's totally out of a person's mind from using it for a permitted utility. So it's like a bed that's designated for money, and you put on it money. The Gemara brings later on the Memdalam Abayz, the Asla Tal, it's forbidden to move it. Umukila krib Yehuda, and the Gemara explains that that's going like a Yehuda, that although he permits to move a klishal machtel isla tzach guf mekaymai, but however, it's such a bed that's only designated really basically for a melech hasisser, it's forbidden to move it in all situations. And so to kumay kinnish al tam negeilim, like we find my chicken coop, which is designated basically just for the chickens, so that's going to be mukta. The mashmal come on, like the Gemara also sounds like later on the mehmeh mebeis, the astra b'yud b'hudel zis asr, afila tzach guf mekaymai, even if you want to use it for permitted utility for the thing, the item itself, or for its place. And the reason is, again, because since it's really designated only for something prohibited, it's not like your regular klishim lachl issa, which you have also some permitted utility that you could use it for, where there it is permitted, like the shayfer, let's say, gufer mekoyme. So Taisus proved that, according to Behuda, you allow to move a klishim lachl issa, let's say, gufer mekoyme. That's like the case of the shayfer, which it has some intrinsic utility that's permitted. But by the trumpets, are really the only thing you use it is for Isser, and it doesn't really have that much utility of Heter. That's really like was designated for Isser, as Taisa brings two places like that, according to the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda, that then is totally forbidden to be moved. Then we get to with the next of the two, with Taisa, we have three Bryces and three Taisas that discuss each one of those opinions. The other Bryces, the next Taisa, the Maschel, is Horeb Shimon, that's Reb Shimon, which Taisa comes to explain. This brisa that we explained goes according to Reb Shimon. That is, the Gemara had resolved. What's the brisa that holds that you're allowed to move the shayfa and the chatzaitzis? Oh, that's Reb Shimon. So Taisa explains, because Reb Shimon is the less lay mukta. He doesn't have this really extensive prohibition of mukta. Ela mukta machmas chasaron kis. Only something that's really set aside because of a loss of money, where it's a very delicate thing. Okay, that's where he holds that it's going to be mukta. But all other things, even the klishim lach l'isser, he holds no problem about mukta, and therefore, even a trumpet, you let him move on Shabbos. But Taisus qualifies and says that v'davka l'tzarech gufo em mekayma hu d'shari, which the previous Taisus was saying a chiddush, and if you do that's when you're allowed to. Here, Taisus is limiting in Reb Shimon, although he holds it more expansive, but it's only going to be if you're moving it, again, like even like the trumpets, but only for you want to use the item itself or for its place. But if you want to move this item from, let's say, the sun to the shade, just so that things shouldn't get ruined, Ma'id Reb Shimon d'Asr, Reb Shimon would agree that's forbidden to move it. What's the proof? Learn the Mishnah later on, that the Mishnah brings, a person allowed to take a hammer, which it's a klishim lach l'isra, so generally it's used to build buildings or whatever it is, makabe patish, and you're allowed to take it, lefatzeya b'yisa gezim, to go ahead and crack open the nuts, which that's moving it, l'tzerech gufay, to use it for permitted utility. So too, you're allowed to use a kardam, a hatchet, which is also klishim lach l'isra, lachta b'dvela, to go ahead and chop off those dried the figs that were dried, that were in this big cake, which it's also l'tzerech gufay. A macham l'tzel, but from the sun to the shade, oh, then it's asa to move it. Now says Taisus, a krib shimon here, and that's going like krib shimon. How do we know that? I mean, the Gittani is safer, because the end of that Mishnah says, machat shal yad, a needle that's a hand needle, which is the smaller type of needle, little boy, esakai, it's allowed to use it to go ahead and take out a thorn from a person. Now, the Gemara said that pedaman beis mukila krib shimon explains that halacha is like krib shimon, and therefore you're allowed to go ahead and take out the thorn, even though it's possible that some blood might come out of the person, because going like krib shimon that holds a malacha shen tzrich legufa, you don't really want that blood, so that you're going to be potter. So it's obvious that Mishnah is going like krib shimon, who is saying that you're not allowed to move it from the chama. Let's tell. So that's the proof that even he holds that that would be forbidden in the laws of Muktzah. Now, Obishila Oirig in the Gemara later on of Kav Gazayim and Aleph Nami Muchach Minah. It's also obvious from this same halacha of the needle to take out the thread, the Mapis Mursa. We learn out from there that if someone wants to pop a pimple, a pus pimple, that Mutalikitchila, that's permitted even initially, even though some blood might come out of it. Again, because as we see the halacha of our Mishnah, they're allowed to take the needle to take out the thorn, even though some blood might come out. Now, says Taisus, this is proof number two, Vahid Mapis Mursa, Mukma Krib Shimon, and that derivative halacha of Mapis Mursa, that the Gemara explains like Rib Shimon, Bereish Perikh Shratzim in the beginning of Shemin Shratzim, which is later on the Kav Zayin Mabez. So therefore we see that that halacha is going like Rib Shimon, and again, that's therefore that Mishnah, that same Mishnah that says, Yinala move an item from the sun to the shade, is we see Rib Shimon agrees to the halacha. Now, so to be Perik Basra, the Gemara Lina in the last Perik of Kufnan Zayin Merav, Nami Pshidlan, it's also obvious to us, the Masnitin the Chalakalim, that this same Mishnah, in Perik Chalakalim, which talks about the hammer that you're allowed to use to break the nuts, but not from the sun to the shade, is Asi Krib Shimon. How do we know this? Because the Gemara says over there, the Mamukta Machmas Chasarnkes, when something is Mukta because of a loss of money, Mai Krib Shimon agrees that it's forbidden to move it. Now, it's obvious that because the Tnan, the Mishnah teaches, Kol HaKelim Nitalim B'Shabbos. All utensils could be moved on Shabbos. Chutzim Masra HaGodl, except for this large saw, B'Yestet Shal Machresha, this peg that's used in the plowing, which they're very delicate, they cost a lot of money, and that's Muktzah Machmas Chasar and Kis. Now from here, that's, we see that it's forbidden to move a Klishim Lach L'Isser from the sun to the shade, that's going like Reb Shimon, because that's coming to tell us that we see Reb Shimon agrees to this halacha, and therefore, again, that's related to that same halacha that we see, that he holds that Yinala moved from the sun to the shade. Now, so too, says Taisus, Vegabe Machbadish Shal Tamara, that is the Zemachlekis between Rav and Belazar, if you're allowed to move, like as we mentioned before, these brooms of the palm fronds. So what type of moving are we talking about? The Gemara asks, Ella, if it's talking about a moving mechamel itself from the sun to the shade, what? Behold, lame Reb Elazar Avshal Tamara. What do you think that this is? What Reb Elazar is going to say that even the palm frond broom, you'll have to move? Now, from here, Tosfos proves that obviously, v'isha Reb Shimon af mechamel itself. If Reb Shimon would say you'll have to move something from the sun to the shade, my kusha, what's the Gemara's question? Dilm Reb Elazar Reb Shimon Tzvili. What do you mean? Maybe Reb Elazar holds like Reb Shimon, and therefore you'll have to move it from the sun to the shade. Obviously, no, even Reb Shimon, he holds is going to be us, and therefore, how could Reb Elazar say such a thing? Again, that's another proof to this idea. So Taisa explained, the Ibn Reb Shimon, that he holds a lot of move, the Shefa and the trumpet, is only the Tzarkmuv and Mekaymai, because it's a Klisham Lachtel Isser, but even that would be us in Mecham Letzel, and Mukta Machmas Chasar and Kis, Reb Shimon agrees that is also, according to Reb Shimon, included in the Isra of Mukta. Now we get to the next Taisa, the Remaskel, Horeb Nechemia, which is the third Braisa. That Tosfos comes to explain the brayse that we said is like a Nechemia, which we had one brayse that said that you're not allowed to move neither the Shefa or the Chatzetzes. That's like a Nechemia, which Ahid the Asa Shefa Chatzetzes, which the brayse says you're not allowed to move not the Shefa, not the trumpet. Because the Tanya, Beperek Chavis, where do we find this concept? Later on, the Kuv Menvav Maralf, that the brayse says, I feel a tarvin, even a spoon, I feel a talus, even a cloak, I feel a sock, and even a knife. No, you could only move it for its designated utility. What does it mean? The utility is generally designated for this utensil, and therefore, since you're not using it for what it's normally meant for, so therefore, even though you could find a permitted utility for it, no, the shofar is also going to be aser because what it's meant for is for blowing, and that's not what you're using it for on Shabbos. Now, but Taisus asks, "Mashma lePirusha." It sounds like according to Rashi's interpretation, the kli shemalachta leiser, that a vessel that its malacha is generally for a prohibited item. That's what it's meant for. That asal tatlet shom tzarich would come according to Nechemia. That you're not allowed to move it for any purpose on Shabbos. Why? Because dami yuchad lemalachas is. So, what is it designated for? It's designated for a prohibited activity. And the way Rashi explains it, we need the only way you can move it on Shabbos is if you're moving it for what's designated for it to be used. But if it's a klishim lach l'isser, it's only meant for a prohibited thing, and therefore you can't move it according to Rashi on Shabbos. But it's difficult for Rabbeinu Tam. Why? Because the Amar beperek chavis, the Gemara says over there on the perek chavis, Chaisali shel tamarim v'shel geregris, which the basket that's made from the palm leaves, and they put inside of it dates and dried figs that they should dry up, and they knot it up. Now, so the Gemara says over there that mater, you're allowed to open up the knots of the vessel so that you could eat the dates and the dried figs that are inside. Avla mefkia, but you're not allowed to tear open the rope that closes up the vessel. And v'lei chaytuch, neither you're allowed to cut the rope that closes it. Now, it says Taisus, a mukulik rem nechemi. The Gemara explains, it's going like a nechemi who says you're not allowed to move even a knife, only if it's for tashmish, l'tzerech tashmishi, which, now, the knife is not designated to cut rope, so therefore you're not allowed to move it for that purpose. And v'chein perek b'kol ma'arv, and so to the Gemara in Avon of Lamahei Yamar Aleph, which the Gemara there is explaining the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, that if you put the Eruv in a closed chest and you don't have the key, so it's not a valid Eruv, because you can't get to it and eat it, the Eruv ben Hashmashes, which is the time of when the Eruv is being chal, is taking effect. And the Gemara there explains that Hacha, here in the Halacha of Rabbi Eliezer, that we're saying it's not going to be an Eruv, is talking about b'minul dekotra b'misna. We're talking about that it's a lock that's knotted with a rope. And the only way we'd be able to get to it is to cut it open with a knife, to cut open the knot. Umuki krim nechemya, the Gemara explains, and it's going like krim nechemya. And since he says you're not allowed to move a knife to cut rope, so therefore you can't get to the Erev Ben Hashmashes, therefore it's not going to be Erev. Now, based on these two sources, Rabbein Tam asks on Rashi, Vamai asa besakin, why is the Gemara saying that according to krim nechemya? It's forbidden with a knife, with the intention of cutting the rope. But since, according to Rashi, the designated utility of a knife is to cut, so therefore it should be permitted to move the knife for any types of cutting. Moreover, the elder Reb Shimshon, he also asks, according to Rashi's interpretation, that Reb Nechemya only permits, and he's like asking really from the opposite angle, that according to Rashi, Reb Nechemya only permits to move a kli only for its designated utility. So the Heichikamai Rabbis, how does Rabbis say when he explains his opinion of Nechemya? The parakal came later on the Kof Chav Dalmud Aleph that he says, V'ashram Nechemya L'meimer, Nechemya is coming to tell us that Philik Kli Shemalach L'Heter, even a utility, that it's generally for a permitted utility, that L'Tzerech Gufay L'Tzerech B'Kamei In, if you're using it for its own purpose that's permitted, meaning for the thing itself, or for its place, then you're allowed to move it, Mechama L'Tzer Loi, but from the sun to shade, you're not allowed to. That asks Reb Shimon HaZaken, I don't understand. How is it ever going to be permitted to move, let's say, the knife for its place? That's not its designated utility for its place. According to Rashi, it's only for its designated utility. So Rabbein Tam gives a contrived resolution for Rashi, and he says, yes, because things like knives and plates, the ka'aris, the plates, after you eat from them, the derech lastir in kol shav. It's the norm. It's the designated utility of these utensils to move it for its place to clean it up. So chashav tzech mekayim. So the need for its place is considered tashmish hamayuchalei. It's really considered its designated utility because that's how it's normally used. But again, that's what's called doichik teretz. So up until now, Taisus had inferred from the opinion of Rashi that Reb Nechemya does not permit to move a kli only if it's for the utility that's miyuchad, designated for it, and therefore, as our Gemara explains, it's forbidden to move a shofar or a trumpet because both of them are miyuchad for something that's asur. But Taisa asked him two sugyas later on in the Gemara Eirvin that we find Reb Nechemya does not permit to move a knife even for the purpose of cutting. But according to Rashi, but a knife is designated for cutting, so why would Reb Nechemya hold it forbidden to move it? And so to another question from Shimon HaZaken was from Rava's interpretation of Nechemya that says you're allowed to move this kli shel malach l'hetir in front of Nechemya. Let's say guvay umakaymai and just not from the sun to the shade. But according to Rashi, you can never have it permitted l'tzerech makaymai since that's not what's miyuchalai. But Rabbein Tam gives a teichik teretz and he says that actually that no, plates are miyuchid to clean them up and therefore tzerech makaymai is considered tashmash miyuchid. But still, Taisa says that. But a different interpretation. Nil Rabbein Tam, or it seemed to Rabbein Tam, Deloy Shur Reb Nechemya, no. Reb Nechemya does not permit El Tashmish Harogul Lasas Bechal. Not like Rashi said that what is designated for, what it's made for. A hammer is made to bang in nails. No. It's for utility, what's normally used for in the weekday. Afilein the Tashmish Hamayuchal. Even though it's not its designated utility. And therefore, this is what comes a different than Rashi interpretation. Even the klisha malachtel iser is going to be shard. It's going to be permitted according to Rabbi Nechami to use it on Shabbos. That's the norm of how you use it during the weekday. Let's say, for example, a hammer. You're allowed to use it to crack open nuts. And you're allowed to use a hatchet to cut open the dried figs. That's what the Gemara means. According to Nechemia, you're only allowed to use l'tzerich tashmish. What does that mean? What you normally use it. People take hammers, they crack open nuts, even though that's not what it was miyuchid for, but that would be included in the permissibility of Rem Nechemia. So then what does he mean, l'tzerich tashmish? Because he's only coming to exclude, let's say, moving it for the utility of from the sun to the shade. And for example, tashmish in a rogalachtach, for utility, it's not normally used to cut. Let's say the broom of the palm fronds with a knife, or a lock that's tied with a knot, which it's not normally to use a knife for that. That's where we're going to say that it's going to be usur according to Rabbi Nechemia. Now, and so too says Taisa, b'sheifer nami, that explains our sugya too. A sheifer in derech b'chol legamei by mayim letinig. We explain according to those who say it's permitted, even though let's say it's a klishim lachta le'isr, because you could use it for to have a child drink from the vessel of the sheifer of the ram's horn. But again, it's not normal to use it like that during the week. The Rebbe Nechemia holds that for that it would be awesome. And so into v'hasaka b'kelim, to go ahead and use for a fire to fuel it with vessels. The Tanya Perikah b'kelim, the Gemara later on the Kof Rav Dalman Beis tells us that emasikin b'kelim b'chulu, that you can't fuel a fire with vessels. And the Gemara says amukul like Rem Nechemia, and it explains that it's going like Rem Nechemia. There also the reason is because the utility of using it to fuel a fire, that's not considered something that's normally used for, and therefore Rem Nechemia holds can be forbidden to move it in such a way. Now maybe Rabbein Tam Raya, Rabbein Tam brings a proof to this interpretation of Nechemia. Me perikol kelim from that Gemara over there does not learn in the Mishnah. Kol kelim nitalon l'tzarich b'shalei l'tzarich. It says all vessels can be moved for a purpose and for not a purpose. Nechemia says in nitalon l'tzarich. It says no, it can only be moved for a purpose. That's a machlekes tanakam from Nechemia. Now umafarish Rabbi Gemara. There's a whole machlekes to how to interpret that Mishnah. So Rabbi explains it within the Gemara in the opinion of the Tanakama, that davish malachta leheter, something that is a permitted general, its utility is for permitted things of Shabbos purposes, that you let it move it l'tzarich gufu l'tzarich mekayim, for the thing itself to use it in a permitted way and for its place. Now davish malachta leiser, but something that's generally used for a prohibited utility, so then l'tzarich gufu, and then only for the thing itself you let it move it l'tzarich mekayim, but for its place you're not allowed to. Now says Taisus v'hashta, now Taisus develops his proof. The Rabbein Tam's proof. Ma'ali lahaska davish malach l'isir. What's the purpose of mentioning in the halacha of the Tanakhama something that its utility is for a prohibited element? Kiven the masnitin loyariel malach l'heter. Since the Mishnah is only discussing a klish malach l'heter, because we're saying all vessels can be moved l'tzarech and shalei l'tzarech. That's only by klish malach l'heter. Elavadi rather explains Tarsus mishum Reb Nechemia nakte. Because the reason why Rab is saying this is because he's coming to qualify the opinion of Nechemia, the disputant. The boy lemem, because he wants to say the va'asrim Nechemia lemem. Nechemia came to say that afilah davish malach leheter b'chulu, that even something that's a klisha malach leheter, that he says even there you're only allowed to move it letzarech. What does letzarech mean? Letzarech gufoy and not letzarech mekayma. Oh, and the reason is mishum demasher Reb Nechemia, because Reb Nechemia equates malach leheter lemalach leiser. That both of them are only permitted to move it, letzarech gufoy, and not letzarech mekayma. So therefore, noked malach de leiser, therefore, even in the opinion of the Tanakhama, he explains that a klisha malach de leiser, which according to Tanakhama, is only permitted letzarech gufoy, because of Ramachem, according to Ramachem, Tavaya, both of them is letzarech gufoy, because he holds even klisha malach de leheter, and that's why he brought in klisha malach de leiser, because he wants in Ramachem that both of them, letzarech gufoy shari, only for the thing itself is permitted, letzarech mekayim eloi, but for its place, it's not permitted. Which is like we said. So therefore we see, that even according to Nechemia, it's permitted ultimately, at least that we see, klisha malach de leiser, for itself, which is for a permitted utility, even though it's not designated for it, which, because of what's designated for it is an iser element. Again, that's the proof of Nalik Rashi, that who he wants to say of Nechemia, only permits of a tashmish hamayuchel, like we see, even if it's not tashmish hamayuchel. Now, up until now, Tosfos explained according to Rabba. And says Tosfos actually ula Rava. Also, Rava over there that he disagrees with Rabba, and he holds that the Tanakhama permits a klishim lach leheter. Letzarech gufa, and letzarech mekayma, and mecham letzel. Whereas a kli shemlach l'iser, he says that's one step lower, but that's l'tzel guve emakaymai and not mecham l'tzel. Rav Nechemya holds that even the kli shemlach l'heter is like a kli shemlach l'iser, that tavayu l'tzel guve emakaymashar. He holds that even more. He holds that even l'tzel guve emakaymai is going to be permitted, and only mecham l'tzel, no, only from the sun to the shade is not going to be permitted. Here also we see clearly that a kli shemlach l'iser, which the Tanakhama wasn't talking about, is because Rav Nechemya is coming to tell Rav Nechemya that he equates the measurements that both a Kli Shemach L'Isser and Kli Shemach L'Heter is going to be permitted L'Tzer Guvei Emakaymai, which again, we see obviously not like Rashi, as we explain in the opinion of Rabbah, where we see that it's permitted with this Kli Shemach L'Isser L'Tzer Guvei, which is for permitted utility, but it's not his designated utility again, which is not like Rashi. Now, even Veloshna Afila, even the wording of Afila that Rabbah and Rava both use, when they come to explain the opinion of Nechemya, that say, Vafila Davish Amlach de Leheter, Mash Menam Hachi also sounds like this, that the halacha of a Klish Amlach de Isser is like a Klish Amlach de Leheter, that both of them are going to permit at least Letzer Gufay, even if it's not a designated utility, again, which is not like Rashi. So Tesis explained that Rav Nechemya does not permit to move a Kli only for something that's normally used for during the weekday. But from Chama Letzel, which that's only for the tzaruch of the kli to protect it, and so too for, let's say, cutting ropes which not normally cut during the weekday, that's going to be forbidden according to Rav Nechemya. And so too the shayfer in Asogya, where it's not normally used to draw water for a child, and it's not used to, let's say, fuel a fire with kalim, and therefore the Gemara tells later on that it's forbidden for Rav Nechemya to move kalim to heat a flame on Yom Tov. Now Taisus proves this from the Gemara in the Sugya in Perakal Kalim, that this that it mentions Kli Shemach L'Isser is because of Rav Nechemya, because he equates Kli Shemach L'Isser and Kli Shemach L'Heter, that both of them are only going to be L'Tzer Gufay, according to Rabbah, and according to Rava, also L'Tzer Mekayma. But one thing we see is that, okay, at least Kli Shemach L'Isser is permitted, and that's obviously not like Rashi. So to even the wording Afila sounds like that it's going to be permitted L'Tzer Gufay, even though it's not his designated utility, but at least for somewhat of a utility that's normally used during the weekday. Next taste their maskal taste begins the words of the Gemara Lamachat Shenimtzis, for the needle that's found. Which taste comes to explain what is the case that it's going to be kosher on one side. The Gemara tells us another word that was changed and was Beikasi and Huvlila, these two different stomachs of the ruminant. And the Gemara says the nafkamina is for a needle that's found in the thick wall of the Beis HaKosis. Taisa explains because the Tanya Be'ela Trefus, the Gemara Chulin of Nanaman Alf and Bamadi, the Gemara Ksubis of Ayin Vav and Beis tells us that Mitzad Echad, if it's found in the Beis HaKosis from one side, then kasher, it's going to be kosher. And Mibeis Tzadin, but if it's found on both sides, then treif, it's going to be treif. So if it's important to know which one we're talking about, we're here by only by both sides going to be treif. Pishbukun Rashi explains what this means to say is because Ba'ivi Beis HaKosis, in the thickness of the walls of the Beis HaKosis, that's where you can differentiate, since it's made from two different walls. So therefore, if let's say only the one of the walls have a hole, it's going to be kasha of the hemsis, but the other stomach, even if it has a hole only on one side, even if though the hole is not, let's say, totally perforated, doesn't go all the way through to the outside, there in that stomach, even so, it's going to be trefa, because the einzu stima, because that's not enough to close it up to be kasher, because a very thin wall, so even though it doesn't go all the way to the outside, it's going to be a treifa. Now, the Hikcher Rav Reb Eliezer emits, he asks, because the Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, the beginning of Eilat Treifas, that tells us, Hemsis, or basic cases, mentions both these stomachs, Shenikfu Lechutz, if it has a hole on the outside, it's going to be a treifa. So Mashma, it sounds like from that Mishnah, the Hemsis, Namil Mitrefa, that also the Hemsis also does not become a treifa, Ele Benekev Mefulish, only has a hole through and through. Because there it also mentions it has to have a hole on the outside. That's not like Rashi, who says because it has a thin wall, it becomes possible to hole even if it's not a hole all the way through to the outside. So Vemri explains, no, because the Haile Chutz, this that it says, if it has a hole on the outside, he's coming to explain Rashi. No, it doesn't mean that it's totally all the way through to the outside. What it means to say is, it means as a hole on the to going to the outer part of the wall of the stomach, which doesn't have a cover. What we mean is we're coming to exclude if, let's say, the hemsis and the basic case have a hole one to the other in the inside walls, not the wall facing the outside of those stomachs. That's where we're saying, then it's going to be kosher. Kediktani Basarche is actually, it teaches right after that when it talks about what is kosher by an animal, where if the hemsis and the basic cases are perforated one into the other, it's going to be kosher. But the truth is, by the hemses, if it has a hole towards the outside, it's going to be treif, even if it does not have a hole going all the way through, the way Rashi explained. But Taisa is still bothered that this that it says in the Braisa, in the Gemara over there, that if there's a hole on one side by the base of Kais, it's going to be kasher, and on both sides it's going to be treifa, why do you have to say it all the halacha that from both sides it's going to be treifa by the base of Kais? Most definitely, if you're saying it has a hole on both sides, so the hole's going through all the way, what's called lechut, to the outside, which the Mishnah says is treifa, that's not any less than the hemsis, which if it has a hole on the outside, it's going to be treif. So why does the Braisa have to say it? Taisa says, you're right. The Kamash Malon, the primary chiddush that we're coming to tell you in that Braisa is specifically regarding the case of when it has a hole, the mitzad echad, when that is a hole on one side, that we're going to tell you that still kasher, it's going to be kasher, even by the beis hakaisis, which is similar to what the Mishnah says over there, that if it doesn't have a hole on only one side, which is a hole that's not totally perforated, that afal gaf, the nikif or echad shalom, and this is the chiddush, you're right, only for this case, only that since at least one of the two skins that it has, it's totally perforated, so I would have thought to say that when one whole skin is not whole, then it's not going to be better than when the hemsis has a hole, even though it doesn't go all the way to the outside, like we said for Asher, it's going to be treifa. That's the chiddush. You have to say that, no, over here, since ultimately there's another skin in the base of Kaisis that is intact, so it's going to be kasher. But you're right, says Taisis. Hadik tanami beit sadad and treifa, that other half of the halacha, that it says, but if it has a hole on both sides, it's going to be treifa. You're right. Ain't chiddush, that's no chiddush by the base of Kaisis more than the hemsis, which we said if it has a hole going to the outside, the Mishnah tells it's going to be treifa. Or, another interpretation is that, actually, no, mebeit sadad and treifa to tell us that if it has a hole on both sides, it's going to be treif. Nami chiddush, that's also chiddush specifically by the base of Kaisis, and by the hemsis, we didn't have to tell you that. Because the Kamashma, what we're coming to tell you is that Av b'shashaychit, although the basic case rests al ha-hemsis, it lays on the hemsis, on the other stomach near it, so v'sol g'day dech shemegin, so you would have thought to say that the hemsis, it actually protects and covers over the hole that is on top of the basic cases. Where do we find such a precedent? In Kamechal Chaylis, like we find by the rectum, the end of the digestive tract, before the excrement comes out, Shenikfa, where the halacha said that if there's a hole over there, but the thighs are right there and they support and they cover over that hole, the ksheir that the animal's kasher, we have to tell you that over here, no, it's going to be treif, and therefore it was necessary to say that chiddush specifically over here regarding that it's not going to help the hemsis to close up the hole because it's not really attached so much like the thighs are by the rectum, and therefore it's going to be a treif. And therefore, it was a necessary chiddush to tell us in the Beis HaKaisis. Now, Rabbi Natan Maimer, he gives a different interpretation, not like Rashi. He says, no, actually, the behemsis nami, but the hemsis also mitzad echid ksher. It's not true. If the hole's only on one side, it's going to be kasher. Because he says, pshita deloy have a treif, it's obvious not going to be a treif. Ilim kein nikiv nekiv mefulash luchutz. Only if it's a complete hole going to the outside. Because he says, the insvar shi treif, b'shumakim, it never makes sense for an animal to be a treif, to be considered with a mortal defect. Only has a hole going through and through. If there's no hole through and through, the animal could still survive. And therefore, then why is the Braisa pick specifically the Beis HaKaisis? It's not coming to exclude the Hemsis, that it's going to be possible even if the hole's on one side, like the way Rashi says. No. Rather, Lashmin is coming to tell us regarding the Beis HaKaisis, Mitzad Echad Kishera, that yes, if it has a hole on one side, it's going to be Kasher. Avagam to Nikiv Arshalom, even though it has a hole in totally of one of the hides, like we mentioned before, still, since there's another hide, this has another skin, so it's going to be kasher. Now, Tais explains the contrary in the Tam, that seems like, okay, so there's no real difference between the hems and the basic kaisis. Both of them, if there's a hole on one side, it's going to be kasher, and on both sides, it's going to be treifa. Even so, Tais explains, still there's a relevancy, as the Gemara comes to say, this they were saying that their names change, although you tell me that halachas are the same. Says Tais says no, because Dilash mean had we not told you that the names change, so I would think to say the Haidik Tani this that we learned Allah Machat Shinim says by the Beis HaKaisis, if there's a needle that's found in the thickness of the walls of the Beis HaKaisis that we say there's a difference. That on one side it's kosher, but on both sides it's gonna be treifa. I would have thought to say Haidik the Kar has to be kasher. It's the one that we call currently Beis Kasi, which is actually the Hemsis, Shein Le'ila or Echad, which only has one skin. Of Abba Aslamema, then you would come to say the Dafka Bahu, yes, specifically over there. That's when mitzad echad ksher, that on one side is kasher. Avimai the kar havlila, but now what we currently call havlila. Afil mitzad echad treva, that even on one side would be treifa. Why? Kimet shenikiv or echad shalom, which is almost paradoxical what we say up until now. Because yeah, one of the two skins is totally perforated, so you think that it's actually going to be treifa. We have to tell you that no, that the name is changed, that filah behavlila, that even by Havlila, which is really the base of Kaisa, which has two skins, still that mitzad echad, if it's only on one side, ksher, it's going to be kosher because it's not a hole through and through because you have the other skin that's being protecting it. And that's what we have to tell you. More of the Re says, the Matin Lamek Pirish Rashi. No, we could say like Pirish Rashi, the Behemsis Afilamitzad Echad, that even on one side, if it's not a hole going through and through, that Trefa, it's going to be Treif. As we had made the inference from the Brysa, where it tells you the halacha that on one side it's going to be kosher by the Beis HaKaisis. But it's not because that it's invalid, even by a hole that doesn't go through and through. So essentially, he's interpreting Rashi, but adhering to the problem of Rabbeinu Tam, that yeah, if it's not a neck of mefulish, how could it be treifa? Says the reason of Rashi is not because, yes, it's because the cheshinan were concerned, shem and nikav lechutz v'chaz of every, maybe it did have a hole through and through, but then it healed, and therefore that's why you only see a hole on one side. Kamai, where do we find such a precedent? Yashav lekaitz beveshet, if there's a thorn in the throat, the hachi hilchas ahasim, that's what the Gemara tells regarding the esophagus, that the Chashina Shemehivri, we're concerned that we find the thorn that maybe really was a hole through and through, and it was a trefa, but maybe it healed. The Chashina Sabak Drusa, and we're concerned that maybe an animal had pounced on it and made a hole through and through, and therefore that's what we're concerned over here when we find it on one side. Not because that's enough to make it a trefa, but maybe it really had through and through, but it healed. And as Tase explains, even according to the pin that generally holds, we're not concerned for a thorn. Maybe by the heel of the case of the needle, which is very thin, we would be concerned that maybe it went through and through and that it healed. I said, says the boy be ele trevis, and why does the Gemara require an ele trevis nikfu lechutz, that if it should have a hole on the outside, which sounds like that if not, if we're going all the way through, it's not going to be a trefa. Even though seemingly you have to be concerned by the hemsis, that even a hole on one side maybe really was through and through and it healed, like we explained. Says Taisa, Hayne Kugun Diyadin, that must be talking about like where we know that if it had been a hole through and through, the Shublo Hivri, then it would not have healed yet. Why? Kugun would be, for example, talking about Shachla Macha Bevanin, where it ate a needle in front of us. In such a situation, with the Shachtu Miyad and they slaughtered right away, if it had a hole on one side, for sure it didn't have a time to have made all the way through and healed because it was right here in front of us, and that's where we have to say that it was only if nikvu luchutz. So Taisa explained that the opinion of Rashi is specifically by the basic cases, if it has a hole on one side, it's kosher. But by the hemsis, even on one side, it's going to be treifa because it's very thin. And when the Mishnah said nikvu luchutz, it's only coming to exclude when it's in the inside from the hemsis to basic cases. But actually, the hemsis is going to be treif even if it's not all the way through and through. And Taisa explained two different ways. So then, why did we pick specifically by the basic cases that the halacha is if it was a hole on both sides? We're assuming that's unnecessary because it's not going to be any less than the hemsis. And additionally, Taisa at the end says another interpretation that's possible because the concern that maybe it had a hole through and through and it healed, where the needle is very thin, so therefore that's the concern according to everyone that maybe it was through and through. But Taisa wrote the interpretation of Rabbeinu Tam that no, even by the hemsis, it's only treifa if it was from both sides. But from one side, it's going to be kosher. So then why does the Braisa talk about specifically the Beis HaKaisis? To tell you that even over there, from one side, it's going to be kosher, even though that one side is a whole, one of the two skins totally perforated, doesn't make a difference. The other skin still goes ahead and protects it, like by the hemsis.